Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From weddings to work functions to weekends out on the town, it's always the right time to dress to impress. Step out in style this season with Indochino. They make high-quality, custom-fitted suits, shirts, and casual wear, all at a surprisingly affordable price. Each Indochino piece is made to your unique measurements and specifications, so you get a perfect fit every time. You can even customize every single detail of your suit, from the lapel of your jacket, all the way down to the hem finish of your pants. Creating a suit that fits you and your style has never been easier. And the best part is that Indochino suits start from just $4.29. Dress to impress this season with Indochino. Right now, get $50 off any purchase of $3.99 or more by using promo code IMPRESS at Indochino.com. That's $50 off a purchase of $3.99 or more at Indochino.com, promo code IMPRESS.
Hello, everybody. This is another preview, this time of the Transfer Show, which features myself and Rob Vera. I spoke for over an hour today about a variety of different topics, including Armando Broscia, Morgan Gibbs-White, links to Jesse Lingard, Richarlison's exit and his tearful farewell from Finch Farm, and Everton's transfer strategy going forward. But a lot of the conversation was around Anthony Gordon, who has been linked today with a £35 million move to Newcastle United. So lots going on there, lots of intrigue, lots of discussion around that. So me and Rob started the show this week with a chat about what Everton should do if they were to receive that kind of money in the current climate. The show is available in full over on Patreon, patreon.com/theblueroomextra. We can access this subs weekly from earlier in the week, and all the content coming up throughout the week, including Mailbag and Blue Room Breakfast podcast, where I round up the news, the breaking Everton news every single morning. It works out about £1 a week. You can cancel it whenever you like, and it is a great time to sign up with the transfers and pre-season fixtures and the new season just around the corner. It's patreon.com/theblueroomextra. The link to sign up is in the description of whatever you're listening to this. Hopefully, we'll see it over there. And hopefully you enjoy this clip of me and Rob having a chat about Anthony Gordon and that potential offer from Newcastle. Yeah, Anthony Gordon, I think like we both said there, we both sort of expect that all this bluster will ultimately end up in him getting a new contract, which would be well-deserved. But let's do the hypothetical anyway, because it's,
sure,
you know, it's fun.
It's fun. That's the whole point of this pod. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You said there, in the reports initially came from Mike McGrath from the Telegraph, and then I think Keith Downey from Sky Sports has sort of verified that not much has come about as we're talking now from the Everton end in regards to the guys at the Echo or the Athletic or Dom King or Paul Joyce or Chris Bascombe. But if they do, as we're recording, we'll let you know. £35 million, I think I've just put on Twitter there, Rob. I think if you strip away all the context, that's a lot of money. I think for a player, as you mentioned there, that scored 4 goals. But given that natural scepticism I have when it comes to Everton's recruitment and Farhad Bashiri, not necessarily Kevin Falwell. Sure. And given the loss of Richarlison as well, who is not just a player who scored goals for us last season, but was probably one of two attacking talismen, the other one being Gordon, one of two players who showed genuine raw passion throughout the course of the season, the other one being Anthony Gordon again. And like we said earlier as well, the season is a month away. Everton play Chelsea in Goodison, at Goodison Park in a month's time. Hmm. And they're about to go on a pre-season tour. I just think even that money for me at that point, if Newcastle came in right now and said, 35 million lads, Anthony Gordon, make a decision by the end of the day, take it or leave it. I think the context is important in all this, I think, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And I think unless the financial pressure, which has obviously been relieved a little bit by the sale of Richarlison and by getting that deal on the accounts before July, I think unless the financial pressure is too great for Everton to say no to that kind of money, I think they'd kind of have to, even though I probably think 35 million is a bit too much. I mean, imagine going into a new season without Richarlison and Anthony Gordon. Imagine going into a pre-season without those two players now with potential no incomings down the line. I mean, the pressure on Frank Lampard, the pressure on Kevin Falwell would be absolutely immense. And it just feels as though, and again, to go back to the talk of goodwill and some positive momentum from last season, it just feels as though it would take away any kind of patience and, you know, willingness for this to get a little bit trickier before it gets better. If you've sold two players that are that important and are that popular with the fan base as well. So hypothetically, Newcastle come in with that kind of money. I think if I'm Kevin Falwell and I'm Frank Lampard, I'm saying probably a little bit overvalued for a player that scored four Premier League goals, but thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. I think it is impossible to strip away the context. Though we do it all the time. I mean, I think sometimes, depending on who you talk to, that the amount of there becomes a certain amount of money to where the context almost doesn't matter anymore. It's like, well, look, Anthony, hey, buddy, glad you
I
have.
I don't think 35 million is quite that level, though.
I probably don't either, and especially because is it a real 35 million or is it like 28 million rising to 35, like if it's a hard 35 million, like really 35 million escalating to 40 something, then I'm listening. I want to hear it. I want to hear your pitch for this. And then I might even say, if that's your offer, I'd be like, you know, make it 40 and then we've got a deal. You know, like I think that what we don't know, and this is why I've found my experience following this particular sport to at times be so frustrating, is that it takes a while to sometimes get a sense of what kind of negotiator you have sitting in that seat. In the case of Everton, it's hard to understand. It's hard at times to know who the negotiator sitting in that seat even is. I don't know how much Bill Kenwright still plays a part in these negotiations. What I would say is that I think that we can be guilty at times of not seeing the total picture, and that's not really our fault necessarily. But for instance, in a vacuum, you probably don't just take 35 million without having, you know, knowing that you're going to be bringing in, you know, pressing two buttons and bringing in these other players, right? Well, for me, I think that this close to the start of the season, we really should only, you know, we should really be in player acquisition mode, and we should really only be selling players for whom we've already got pretty locked in alternatives that are either on the current squad or that we know we're bringing in. Let me put it this way, Matt, I would be more willing to entertain a Gordon offer if the Richarlison button had already been put, Richarlison fee button had already been pushed for a couple players, right? Like, I think that having this discussion about Gordon before we've done anything with the Richarlison money hurts us in two ways. One, it's just logistical in that we don't have attacking players that are there to step into those positions. And two, I think that we are currently denied the ability to have a sense of what kind of negotiator and or tactician or planner or what kind of philosophy Kevin Thelil has, because I think we're going to learn a lot about what he's like and what his priorities are. And when I say his, I mean him, Lampard collectively. I think that this is a more balanced, at least in theory, approach where clearly Frank Lampard is going to have some say in this. And so, we all said at the end of the season, hey, Frank Lampard has earned the chance to have a summer transfer window to be able to start building a squad a little more in his image. We just don't, outside of Tarkowski, which is just addressing a gaping hole in the side of our ship. I mean, I think that we don't really know yet what that means and what that looks like. As scared as a lot of us were about Harry Winks, for instance, that talk seems to have subsided. It didn't really seem to go anywhere. It's amazing how it almost completely disappeared once Richarlison was sold to Spurs. I wonder how much of that was floated for certain reasons, but
it appears that apparently the negotiations and the way in which it was done have kind of burnt bridges between the two clubs.
I mean, yeah,
it would appear the Spurs tried to have us off with a £40 million bid just before the June 30th close,
which is very, very Daniel Levy. I mean, yeah. I get it. I look, Daniel Levy's the kind of guy that you hate when he's not your director, and you probably, grudgingly admire him when he is as your negotiator. But the bottom line is that I think there's just right now we've got an incomplete picture. But bottom line is that let's just cut through some of the other crap too, Matt. I think that there are too many Everton supporters that we interact with and we follow on Twitter and that are just part of this overall discussion sometimes, who want to have it both ways or want to have it lots of ways. They want to be a club that develops players either into players that will be good for us or assets. But then when it comes time, when a club actually comes in and appreciates that asset, we get angry at the idea that they would even dare to try to sign that player from us. We care a lot. We like to think that we're logical about money, but then we also do the thing where whenever we're done with a player, we just say, hey, buy the contract out, get rid of him, or just sell him as if it doesn't take the player's willingness or another club being interested. Like, I think sometimes we want to have it all these different ways. The bottom line is that there is absolutely a price for Anthony Gordon. No matter how much you love him because he's one of you, no matter how much you are infatuated with the kind of romantic story of a kid growing up in the club and become, like, every player has their price. When Richarlison, who played as passionately for Everton as any player I can remember in all my time watching this club, when he can get sold, anyone can get sold. So just and as we've talked about before, we're in a position as a club when you're outside of that top six or maybe now seven with Newcastle, because of the sheer financial disparity, your best outcome oftentimes is that you get up to a certain point and your best players get bought by those clubs. That's, I hate, no one wants to hear that, but that is, this idea that some players stay forever. I get it, but that's very rare. Players almost always move on. I think it would be too early to sell Anthony Gordon right now. I think that it would create more problems than it solves, unless there is a very specific counter move once that deal is done. I'm a little concerned, frankly, that we've had now multiple links to Gordon. It either screams that he has got a wandering eye, which I don't know that I totally buy, or I think he just wants, he and his agent probably want a new deal, which he has every right to ask for. And I would be surprised if they aren't already working on a new deal, frankly. So it's a good thought exercise, Matt. I don't think he's going to be sold. I don't think it makes a lot of sense to sell him, but there's absolutely a price. And yes, if we're talking an actual real 35 to 40 million, I'm listening. I'm not saying I'm definitely doing it, but how could you not? We bought Richarlison for 38 million, guys. I mean, I know the song's 50. We bought him for 38. You know, that's just the truth. And Richarlison was a better player than Anthony Gordon, you know, is now back then. And again, inflation, he's English. I know that for whatever reason means something because he's English, but hey, you know, let's get real. Everyone's got their price, but I don't think he'll be sold.
No, I do agree. And it's, I think the context around him being a local lad and coming through the academy and stuff like that. I mean, I feel like that is something that, you know, we spoke a couple of weeks ago, Rob, about how when you're going to be a mid to lower table team, you need to cling on to whatever sort of good things you can and enjoyable things you can. And having someone who is local come through your academy and be quite good at football and give you good moments on the pitch, they are the sort of things that clubs in opposition and fans who follow those clubs sort of need to latch onto and enjoy and savour. So I think,
yeah, for sure.
I do think that part of it is important as well. And of course, I suppose you can look at this in two ways. It shows as well there's a pathway from the academy into the first team, which is important for young players who might be coming here. Young players in this city as well. You know, we've got a football club over the park from us who are challenging for four trophies every year. Not only that, they are bringing through young players themselves. If Everton want to get some of the pool of attacking talent or defensive talent in this part of the world, then they're going to need to show that there is that pathway, and Anthony Gordon shows that. But on the flip side, you could say that Everton could say if we sell him for 35 million, it shows that our academy is working and we're developing players in a good way, and they're going for that kind of money. So I suppose it depends on what kind of the coin you're looking at on that one. But
I was just going to say, maybe the best outcome out of all this is that Gordon stays, but we know now that clubs were talking about offering that much money for him. That gets you the credibility of your academy and your setup and all those things without having to sell the asset. I love Everton. You know how I feel about the city of Liverpool. I think though, it'll always mean something different to those of you who are going every single week who are from there. And I get that. But I would say that for me, the fact that he's homegrown, and this is a weird distinction, the fact that he's homegrown in terms of like a player that was developed through the academy and has been brought to this point maybe means more to me than the fact that he happens to be from Liverpool, if that makes sense. I think it's just because, to me, from a purely, it's a good sign on a lot of levels, but it's also it's one of those assets that you have developed, and the reward for developing this asset is that you have not had to, you know, expend a great deal of money for a, you know, someone who I think Gordon is going to develop into a good, very good Premier League player. I'm not sure that he's going to be a star, but he could be. That's the thing. He's so young still that I think his story and his ceiling is sort of undefined at this point. That I think those are the players that you want to keep. Those are the players you know, in a season where you're going to be mid-table, you want to give as many minutes as possible, let him develop. We talked about this all last season, that Gordon benefited from being allowed to play through, you know, the bumps in the road. Mikulenko developed because he was allowed to play. He had to play through those bumps. Young players getting minutes, to me, are the absolute best part of having a team with very meager expectations. And that's what we're going into a season of, right? Obviously, we've got to survive. We now know what that means. And I think we know what that brush with death looks like. But yeah, I want to see Gordon play. I totally hear what you're saying. There's a lot of joy in watching a guy who gives a shit play for Everton, especially when he was a fan growing up. And so, yeah, I absolutely want to see it work for him. Don't think he's going to get sold. If they want to offer stupid money, you know, God, they offer me stupid money, I'd become a fan of a different club too, Matt. You know, like there's all kinds, you know, no one knows what they'll do for, you know, a stupid amount of money until it comes. But I don't think Everton are going to sell. Now, if Everton did try to force a sale for 35 and, you know, Gort, yeah, like then I think we're having a different discussion. But you have to entertain it at a certain level. Don't think it's going to happen.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Sports Social Podcast Network.